Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are in studio this week with the famous Kim Skaggs. let's see, I'm going to call you from Louisville, Kentucky. How's that?
That'll work.
I know you're en route to Denver or somewhere over in that wonderful country, but we are excited to have you on the show with us today, Kim. It's always a blessing and a gift to be in this space with you, so welcome to the call.
Thank you so much, Shelley. It's a pleasure to be here with you and Lori Beth.
And Louisville does not have three syllables, Shelley. Louisville. Louisville.
No, actually,
well,
it's Louisville.
Louisville.
Oh, there we go. Louisville. Okay, well, at least I didn't say Louisville. How's that? And welcome to you, Lori Beth. You have been out for a few weeks, and so the Omega Leader series show has kind of been on a pause mode, so we're happy to be back in studio and have you back with us. Welcome home.
Great to be back.
Well, we are about to wrap up this first section of Teacher Team to Fish, the Excite, how Jesus did four things with his team. He excited them, grounded them like earth, excited them like fire, grounded them like earth, transformed them like water, and released them like wind. And we have been kind of parked in this Excite section of the book. And two great topics here coming up today are he valued results over FaceTime.
Mm.
Very, very interesting. And he was involved in a family business. We're going to talk a little bit about that for the entrepreneurs that listen into this show. But just delighted to jump in to this time with both of you ladies. So let's get started. Lori, talk to us a little bit about this principle of how an Omega Leader values results over FaceTime. Isn't that kind of a success principle? Are we talking? What are we talking about here?
Well, I tell the story in the book about being at a book signing, I believe it's in Dallas, and at that particular book signing, the line was quite long. And there was one gentleman that just kept kind of hanging in the back. And so finally, when he got to the front of the room, I said, "You are so persistent and patient. I really appreciate you waiting for this line." And he said, "Well," he said, "you know, my name is Paul."
Hmm.
You know, the disciple who never got to meet Jesus. And he said, "So I'm used to hanging out in the back." And I just got the biggest kick out of that. And I hadn't really thought about that, but I think we can forget that Paul, who was arguably one of the most prolific and profound apostles, never met Jesus face to face. And yet he got incredible results in his ministry. And so often, we as CEOs or team leaders, we think if we can't see their face, it must not be working. And so it's really the principle of a virtual teamwork. And I have another story to share about this concept, but I want to hear from Kim and her ideas around it.
Sure. Well, you know, Lori, you start off this chapter by talking about how Jesus would have been happier if the scribes and Pharisees had spent a lot less time in the temple collecting sacrifices and honoring each other with awards and spent a lot more time in the field delivering results. And, you know, he said to them, "Why do you call me Lord to my face, and yet, you know, you don't do the things that I say?" And I think that, you know, it's the difference between preaching Christ and living him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can preach it, but it's a whole different scenario when you actually start to exhibit and emulate him.
Mm.
And in business, you know, just because we are put in charge doesn't necessarily mean that we're leaders.
Or
we have all experienced
the back end of that, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've followed several leaders over the years who had no direction. I followed them for a while.
Why do we do that?
Because I think we are looking for strong leaders. And we want to get behind the mission, and we want to get behind the vision of something that we feel is larger than we are. But, you know, if you look at Judas, I know, Lori, you've mentioned this, I think, in one of your other books. I can't remember which one right now, but Judas looked like the most qualified, you know, candidate when the apostolic positions were being filled. You know, he was a good worker, and he had a good work ethic and history. He was well-educated. But his heart wasn't in the mission because he had a personal agenda. And a true leader will always place the mission and the missionaries or the team ahead of their personal ambitions.
Yeah, that is so true. And what I'm thinking about was, and I think it might be in another one of my books, but a friend of mine who is a wind, and he was a real rainmaker for this company. It was a small company. He was gone 80% of the time. You know, he was out meeting with clients. And one of the partners, there were three, was a woman who was an earth. And she began to really complain about the fact that he was never in the office and that he was missing the meeting and that his time card wasn't punched. And so he kind of cornered him one day when he was in checking his desk and said, you know, I don't think your heart is with us. And I'm going to vote to have you removed.
Wow.
And he was shocked, and he looked at her, and he thought, how many of your son's soccer games have you missed? And she said, none. He said, I've missed all but one.
Mm.
How many red-eye flights have you taken on a weeknight or a weekend so you can save the company $1,000 on airfare? He said, none. And he was so demoralized and discouraged by her view of FaceTime being more important than the results he was getting, that he really contemplated leaving the firm. And yet, quick calculation showed that he brought in 75% of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it by being out of the office. And yet her earth wanted to see that work schedule on the, you know, on the calendar. And he was off the calendar. He was off the map half the time because he was just getting results.
Yeah.
So a lot of it has to do with honoring gifts that God has given each of us.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, just from an elemental perspective, you know, I think we need to really seek to understand our team before we try to make efforts or attempts to be understood. You know, we seek first to understand, and then we can be understood.
You know, Kim, I was thinking there as you were talking earlier about those times that we're, you know, that we find ourselves, you know, in these situations where we're following something that looks like a valued result, you know, taking part in gatherings or meetings or boards or committees or those kinds of things. Wow, that just kind of hit me when you said, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm getting there, that, you know, internally what's motivating someone often is their own, I think you said, their own agenda or,
mm-hmm.
or their own focus. And I would liken that to values, because sometimes in teams and organizations and companies, we're not on the same value page.
Right.
And sometimes that looks like we have our own agenda,
mm-hmm.
but our values are not aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, if we see the goal, we value different things in how to reach that goal. Sometimes it looks like that we're not getting the results or we're not complying with the vision or the priority. But I think sometimes our value, our internal values are not aligned either. Is it raining where you are right now?
It is, yes.
Wow, is that what I hear in the background?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And that's a great point, Shelley, in terms of value alignment, which, again, goes back to why the elements are such an amazing tool you know, the pet profiling is such an amazing tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even elemental, understanding elemental values,
mm-hmm.
right? Fire mm-hmm. values, you know, control and results. Earth values, stability and accuracy, and water values, harmony and compassion, and the wind values expression and release. Sometimes I can look at a situation that doesn't look like results to a fire, but sometimes from a wind perspective, I can see the results.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so with you there on this alignment piece and the values. But I also think that our personal core value sometimes is not in alignment with an overall result of a project, a task, a mission, a vision. And I think that also plays into, you know, Lori, I'm wondering if core value does play into that. Maybe that's a question for you is today. Jesus valued results over FaceTime. There had to be, you know, maybe multiple reasons why that was true.
Well, I think what the point that he makes in the scripture is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, to my face, that you're not doing the things
mm-hmm.
to show me that you believe
right.
what I'm saying.
Right.
And I spoke at a prayer breakfast this morning, and I ended it by saying it's not just knowing the name of Jesus, of course, but having the mind of Christ.
Mm.
And it's very easy for people to go around and say, you know, the Lord Jesus, and if you say yes or no, then you're in or out. But when you look at their actions, what are the results based on God's values? You know, compassion and direction.
Yeah.
And treating the least
mm-hmm.
as if they were Christ himself.
Mm-hmm. I was reviewing Mark the last couple of weeks, the book of Mark, and interesting parables in Mark that kind of talk about results. The parable of the seed and the sower, and well, there's some definite measured results that could come forth out of a personal relationship with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? I love this place in this chapter, and Kim, you may have picked up on this as well, where, Lori, you talk about this, God longs for hierarchy of the heart.
Mm.
Keep that for a second. Both of you ladies, take turns. I love that.
Well, the hierarchy of the heart is, he said, guard well your heart, there all matters lie.
Mm.
And that it's not what goes into a mouth that the man's mouth defiles him, but what comes out of the heart that defiles him. And so we need to think about the hierarchy of the heart. I was with the people that are kind of arch-conservative. Yeah. One of them wants to go back to Puritanical law.
Mm.
I said, really? So, and what is that about? He said, well, it's my grandfather. God quit talking. And I said, do you have his children? And he said, yes. I said, do you just quit talking one day and say, that's it, you're on your own, and they come to you with questions that's in the book? Oh, send them to the written word when
right.
still alive, and then how about their grandchildren? Your grandchildren. So, the FaceTime that God does value is relationship, and that's the hierarchy of the heart.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Kim, on that, on the hierarchy of the heart?
Well, when I think about Jesus' heart, you know, his heart was all about forwarding and advancing people. You know, if they were sick, he wanted them healed. If they were sad, he wanted them free from oppression. If they were in lack, he made provision. And his heart was to advance and again, forward people. And I think that, you know, if we try to maintain that same mindset, which really does originate in the heart, we are going to be very effective leaders and very effective Christians. And it's paying attention, you know, to our motives. Again, you know, when I think about Judas, outwardly he looked like a great candidate. But his heart was really, really far from, you know, the heart of the Lord in terms of what their purpose was.
So are we spending too much time in groups, in meetings, in conversation, instead of on the results side, ladies, of kingdom building? What's that look like?
Well, yes, I think everybody in corporate America could attest to the fact that there's too many meetings. And some of that probably the waters need to relate, and some of it is, you know, I think, time-wasting. You know, of course, I'm the wind fire. It's like, do we really need to sit around and hash about who moved the table and marked up the floor? Or can we just, could that be delegated out to someone and then handled? So I really think it's so counterproductive to have so many meetings around things that are not vital to God's hierarchy of the heart.
So are you saying that structure, is it needed? What was that about?
Well, I'm not saying structure. Of course, there's a wind. I don't think you need much structure. That's my weakness there, thinking about that. But, you know, it's just, is this meeting really necessary? What's the result that's going to come out of it? How quickly can we move to take action? And there's so many people that are in meetings all day long, and then they have to take their work home because they can't be uninterrupted. I mean, they can't function. So it goes back to, Kim, I think your point, what is your individual core value? What's the result you want to see? And then you cut away everything that's not contributing to that.
Kim, right, and Jesus, well, and Jesus refers to himself as wisdom. You know, and if we seek wisdom, I think that it would behoove us, because we are then positioning ourselves to hear what wisdom has to say regarding, you know, our business decisions, regarding all these multiple meetings that we have to have. We could cut out a whole lot of that if we would just pay attention to, you know, the creative energy and insights and understanding that you know, is on the inside of us, because he is on the inside of us. You know, Lori, your book, Jesus Entrepreneur. You know, I mean, come on. He's the ultimate businessman.
Sure.
But how often do we sit down before we go into a business meeting or get on a phone call or whatever and say, okay, Lori, help walk me through this process so it can be, you know, we can be efficient and proficient.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good point.
Well, I'm going to close this section out as we move into this next point, but I love how you draw us, Lori, here at the end of this chapter to understand that we are field representatives and not denominational reps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that if we're going to wear a hat and we're going to wear a label, why not field reps?
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
There it is. All right, so kind of transitioning with both of you as the rain pours in the background.
It sounds like my white noise that I put on to go to sleep. So.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's wonderful.
So I love this thought of picturing Jesus as a family business owner. Lori, talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, when I wrote Jesus Career Counselor, I looked biblically at the what was the economic substructure of the families and the business people in Scripture. And Jesus certainly worked in his father's carpentry shop. We know that. And so many of the people, King David worked in his father's shepherd business before he became king. And so it was interesting to see how many people were self-employed, how many people worked for someone else. Nehemiah worked for the king. You know, that was kind of a fun exercise to look at. But Jesus definitely ran a family business. And the family business was he said, I must be about my father's business. And come join my father's business. And you are my brother and my sister. And let's all go home. You know, where is my mother? Take care of us. So I make the point that Jesus all about family, and he wanted us to have a sense of belonging. Do we do mm-hmm. that in business? It was interesting, the place where I gave a prayer breakfast this morning at Mariner's Church, there was a cart that had drinks and everything on it, and they had written the word belong on the cart itself. And I thought, now, are they teaching the core value, or does this mean that this cart belongs here?
Mm.
You know, and so I chose to say, well, maybe this is one of the core values of the church, that they make people help people feel like they belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at belong, it's being a state of longing, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
satisfied. And I think we all have that. All of us have at some time or another felt like an outsider, maybe on a daily basis. And Jesus said, come home. Come home. I go to prepare a place for you.
Kim, your thoughts
yes.
about this family kind of business, treating the team as family?
Well, you know, Laura, you start off this chapter by quoting Matthew, and it's Matthew 4, and going on from there, he saw another pair of brothers, and he called them. And I was reading this today, and I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me that he was in a position to call and ask Andrew and Peter to follow him because he led his own life well. You know, if we don't lead our own lives well, we shouldn't ask others to get behind or to get on board with us.
Wow.
You know, Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. And because he led his life so well, his disciples were willing to leave their biological families and create a new family with him. And, you know, and I was thinking about the scripture that you quoted here that talks about Jesus asking, you know, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? And, of course, the response is those who do the will of the Father. And in thinking about that statement, I don't know, it never occurred to me that how profound what he was actually saying was. Because, in essence, what he was saying is that blood is not thicker than water. Water, or those who are baptized in him, is much thicker than blood, because those relationships have eternal overtones to them.
Very good point. I knew you had a great show prepared today.
But, you know, he didn't hesitate to ask them to walk away from everything that was familiar.
That's right.
Didn't have a problem with it, because he was persuaded and convinced of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Of that family business call.
And family and familiar have the same root word,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what we think of as our family is really just familiar.
Exactly.
Exactly. The mission has moved on. I remember when I took a tour of the White House, they said, at one point it was so old that they said it was only held together by habit. All the boards held together by habit.
Mm.
I think that pertains
and applies to lots of businesses and churches and relationships and et cetera.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think as we're, you know, as we're kind of getting this picture of, you know, Jesus as a leader leading a business, you know, come follow me to do this kind of work, or you know, this only comes by prayer or fasting, or, you know, whatever Jesus was trying to teach at the time, you know, really strikes in me a place of, you know, question, how am I leading as, you know, a team? You know,
mm-hmm.
do I speak to the team that I'm involved in, you know, as a family?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like, Lori, for corporate teams? I mean, you work a lot with with organizations that that are values driven, they're purpose driven. Have they conquered this? Have they mastered this principle of connecting as a family that is on a mission?
Well, I think the difference is that if you're just a team that's wearing a uniform, if you don't feel like going to work, you don't go to work. If you see your team as your second family, or you think about who's going to suffer because you don't show up, you get up and go in even when you don't feel like. And I think that the notion of family is that they're going to be there when everyone else is gone. And that's the family feeling that Jesus wanted to say, I will always be with you. I'm here. I go to prepare a place for you. Our Father's preparing a banquet even as we speak.
Mm.
So it was that, not a notion, but the reality of belonging. And if you can instill that in a corporate culture or a church culture or your own blood family, you know, that we all are in this together, that's really amazing.
How does that work, ladies? How does that begin to take shape? How do you create a culture that fosters that kind of desire, that kind of yearning? Lori, I've heard you talk often about these were my gifts, these were your gifts that you gave to me, and now I present them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning...
The people. Right.
So how does one, how does an Omega leader begin to create that kind of culture where the people are so connected, valued, you know, their values are aligned? How much time are we talking here to develop this?
Well, it's not so much time as intention. You know, Jesus spent maybe a minute talking to the woman at the well, and yet her life was transformed.
Mm.
But one of the things that I imagine Christ had was the ability to look into a person's soul and really treat them as if they were the most important person in the world. And if you've ever met someone who's really charismatic, I think some politicians have this quality. A child can have this quality. When they look at you, you are it.
Mm.
I know my dog Ruth looks at me, and it's like, I am it to him. And so that's one way to do that, is to just listen and invest time. And it's not like going to the soccer game and then getting there and checking your tweets and Twitters and emails while the kid is on the field. That doesn't count, because you can put in that kind of time, but it's not engaging time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great. Any last thoughts on this, Kim, from you?
Well, I think we need to remember that we don't need to have a title to serve, that serving is a choice. And when we make things better for others, we change the culture. We give because that's who we are. We don't give to get. And I think that's the difference between, you know, significance versus success. You know, if you're focusing on the significance of people and the significance of the mission, the culture will change. People want to feel valued. And as leaders, especially Omega leaders, it is your responsibility, it is our responsibility to make people feel significant and valued.
Wow.
Beautifully said.
Any last thoughts from the story?
Go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, we've got just under a minute here. Thank you both for your time today, for taking us into a space of thinking for just a little bit of what it means to be a filled representative, to be aligned with a person like Christ, who models, teaches, mentors, coaches, stretches us to a place of becoming part of the family. And we don't always get to choose the family that we drop into, but wow, we certainly get to create a family on the move, right?
Right.
And on the run sometimes. So thank you both for sharing today, and just being part of this family, this Omega Leader family series shows every week. You both are just valued and treasured today.
Thank you,
both.
Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Lori.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Stay dry.
We'll see you
okay.
next week.
Take care, ladies.
All right. Bye-bye.